Hello, Dreamers. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And we are very excited to bring you Course of Course podcast number 36, which is also our 1 year anniversary.
Woohoo!
So I think last podcast, I thought it was at the end of October. I looked, it was really today, October 1st.
Wonderful.
Can you believe it's been a year?
So much has happened.
So much has happened in our lives. Things have really changed for us. I'm looking forward to many years in the future when we can be on these mics saying, can you believe when we did this? So we started this in 2014. It's now 2015. Goodness knows. Hopefully it will be 2016 soon and we'll still be doing it.
Yes. All the way through the end of our lives, we'll be practicing forgiveness.
Through the end of the Janine and Stephanie lives.
Yes.
Which we hope. We hope.
We transition.
Are the last ones. Because we were just saying it's kind of a
we win the lottery and go to heaven.
Dump down here. Just want to go wake up into the loving arms of God.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, what's different now? How do we think different about our lives and how we think? I think completely different. They're right. It's a radical new way of thinking.
I am amazed when I do have those moments of clarity. I'll be honest, it doesn't happen all the time. It is not yet automatic for me. I'm still working through it. But there are times when I feel like I can breathe again, like I get it. But there are also some times where I just feel like I am not doing this right because I'm miserable and my ego's in control. The nice thing is I am taking some time out, taking a breath and going, is this really what I want? We had talked earlier, my work environment has always been a bit of a, you know, interesting challenge for me. And it was very challenging this week. And what I did kind of come out with was that no matter what happens, it has been a fantastic opportunity for me to practice the course and to practice forgiveness. Even in environments that are really, really what one might call toxic. Not easy, but it can be done.
Hostile.
Yeah, sometimes it can be hostile. But if it's a work environment for our listeners, or it could be, you know, a marriage, a relationship, whatever, same thing. It's having to stop and go, it's okay. I know that my ego is going to do whatever it does. Not yet there where it's suppressed. And it's a matter of saying, okay, that just happened. Mm-hmm. So how do I correct?
Yeah, they talk about how anything that's in our face is something we can forgive. So I'm really confident and clear that the Holy Spirit has put me in the right place at the right time, in the right body, at the right everything. You know, so since we're not married, our experiences for forgiveness are coming through work. Mine is why I got into the course, because I knew that there had to be a better way and was asking. And 2 years later, it is completely transformed.
So we've done the podcast for a year. We've been studying the course for two.
Yes.
So we are moving into kind of a new chapter in both the podcast and kind of our experience. We're going into a new year in both.
Yeah, I feel like we have a muscle in this now.
Yes, we do. I think, though, one of the things that has truly changed my life, at least through this podcast, is just the dedication. I mean, we continue to do it. But I do want to talk a little about how this podcast was born. And you talked about being in the right place at the right time, in the right lifetime, and Holy Spirit coming through. I really think the Holy Spirit was working in our lives earlier than August of last year, certainly. But in terms of this podcast, I remember thinking when we went to the Irvine conference, I guess it was first week of August 2014, that was really the thought I had, we should really do this. I had audio equipment, which we are talking on right now, that I purchased for a work thing, but I retained ownership. I didn't, you know, hand it over. I didn't get reimbursed for it. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody working with me who in his previous life was an audio engineer. And he kind of showed me how I could use the equipment that I purchased to record podcasts. And I kind of worked through the initial engineering of it through work podcasts. I started recording stuff at work, you know, just fun little things. And I got enough skill with it that I kind of brought it home, essentially, which is where we are. Mm-hmm. In our podcast studio on the couch. And because of that, and because that guy, Dave, helped me through this, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have the equipment, we wouldn't have that opportunity,
the
technology, exactly, mm-hmm. to even begin. But because we were so juiced up, after reading Disappearance of the Universe and getting very much into the course, we were very, very newbie. We're still newbies, honestly. We're going to be students all of our life. But at that point, it was like everything was a possibility. I think you talked about this concept of possibility with Landmark. And while we were at that conference, I remember thinking to myself in the back of my head, I really want to do something. What should we do? Mm-hmm. And because I'd already been podcasting and we talked a little about it, that kind of was the impetus for the course of course.
Love it. It was like an organic, natural expression.
Totally. Yeah. And I think right time, Holy Spirit, we were ready. We recorded the very first one at the end of August. It took a while for whatever the process was to get up on Apple iTunes. And that's why if you look back at our podcast series, you'll see a 10-1 date. And that was really the date that we were able to get into iTunes.
I see.
So there you go.
And then when you used to search for it in iTunes, couldn't find it. I mean, I go through hundreds of spiritual things with the word course in it, trying to find the
and it could be
flower
anything,
logo.
Like, a course in Spanish. No, yeah, I'm saying a course of course.
There's like every language under the
right.
sun.
Yeah, and now we can find it. That's great to know.
It is.
Because I couldn't find, like I would tell people, oh, just search. They're like, I can't find it. Well, good. I wonder if that just means that more people are listening and downloading.
I think so.
Or that it's just kind of been around for a while. And
the algorithms or something have popped up further.
You know, with Apple iTunes, you don't have your podcast actually sent over to iTunes. It lives off everybody's server. So that's what really they're reading. So they're just reading a little piece of code that...
It's like a UPC label in a way, but
well,
for computer.
I guess, if you want to see it that way. But it's just, it's basically kind of a directional saying, here's this information, go to the server and pull it.
Okay.
So even though you can download it on iTunes, it's really... They don't have millions of servers that have a bunch of random podcasts.
That's interesting
there.
To know.
Yeah. So that's where the course of course lives with us.
Okay.
Not just in our brains.
On a server that you're probably paying for that I had no idea.
Correct. Hello. Hello, everyone. Realization just happened to Stephanie. So the podcast itself, after a year, I think I went back and started listening to some of them, and I'm really fascinated by them. The first couple were not really good audio quality-wise.
Yeah. And slow and low.
And we didn't really know what we were doing. So I looked back and I thought, I'm kind of proud that, you know, we had the courage, I guess, to put them out there, even though they're not the best. And because I was still sort of new at audio editing, I remember first couple, I was a little too aggressive with editing. And so I pulled out every kind of pause that I could. And the only thing that did is it made everything sound really fast and a little disjointed. So as with everything, we learn as we progress.
Yeehaw for
Yeehaw,
that.
Exactly.
And here we are a year later with 35. We started off every week and then we kind of moved it to every couple weeks so we could have some life happen and
correct
something to talk about.
Right. So we're at 36. Today is 36.
Yep.
36 out of 52 weeks is pretty darn good, I guess. Yeah. So we're moving along.
It's like a witness to our experience. And I think that's the biggest blessing. So if anyone comes along after us and needs some inspiration, maybe they'll find us in the dust of
right. And you know
the
what?
Computer.
The podcasts that I love that talk about the course are when people really discuss life. Like we discuss like what it's like at work and where I'm having a problem with my relationship, because I think academically we can all read the course, but not all of us can like apply it every day. And at least for me, it can be a struggle. So it's nice hearing other people kind of experience it and work through it.
I think that we can apply it every day. We can apply it every moment. It's just we have to remember.
It's that muscle again.
Yeah.
You know, that I would love it to be automatic. It just isn't there yet. I believe just with everything, it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have faith in that.
Yeah,
I have a lot
good.
Of faith in the course. And I don't know if I could have said that a year ago. I was so new to it and just trying it out. And, you know, after 2 years of doing this, which really... You know, in art and persa terms, that is like baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
But it really has made a difference in forcing me to stop and examine my reactions where I wouldn't have done that before. We've talked about this. It has changed both of our lives. It really has been transformational.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about stopping, I think that the ego uses all the stimuli, you know, what we've talked about this in the past, whether it's, you know, alcohol or caffeine or whatever, food, anything, the computers, all the emails, all the pingings and the dingings and the textings and the whatever, like they're all just distractions to keep us separated and to keep us tied up in that ego-based world. But as soon as we shut it down, as soon as I put my earplugs in and I'm sitting in my meditation chair, it's just me and the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to get interrupted. And so then that makes me want to be able to get away from LA, like when I retire and I can have a lot more quiet time, downtime. It's been challenging to be in a fast-paced city work environment and drill the course in, but I guess because we don't have the families, you know, we have the time. Life goes fast. Life goes really, really fast. And I do appreciate those quiet moments where I can slow down, and I need to every day.
Well, speaking of fast, you and I were born 14 days apart, same year. It's like we're twins, but you were just too slow to come out. I was like, I'm not waiting on you, but our birthdays are this month. So October's always been a special month for us, and I'm going back to see my family in Cincinnati. My dad's birthday is the day after mine.
And my dad's birthday is the day after mine.
Very weird.
And my real dad's birthday was like a couple days before. So all around, dad's all around.
Yeah, fascinating. I wonder what that's about.
And my dad, both dads died just a day before their birthdays.
Well, mine's still kicking, at least for now. but anyway, I'm going back next week to see them. And I am really starting to appreciate home a little more. I don't think I could live there again. You know, sometimes it's like I've kind of moved on. But it's nice being around people that you've just known all your life. I wouldn't say I'm particularly close to a lot of my family members. But there's something about the concept of family that it's always like, okay.
And I bet there's some forgiveness there, too, that you've worked on so that there's a loving space that wasn't maybe there in your 20s.
Yeah, and I got to say, that's the one thing that I am really, really thankful for in terms of my family, that I've been able to work through a lot of that. I don't feel like I'm carrying around any guilt there with pretty much anyone anymore. I think I've kind of just let it all go.
Which is letting go is part of it, isn't it? Letting go.
Man, that's sweet surrender. It is everything.
And it is a stopping of the madness. Whatever tape is running us in that moment, because that's all the ego does, is just freaking run us crazy all the time.
I was being confronted because there's a part of me that always identifies with being smart. I've always been intellectual as a human, but I will be around people who are not, let's just say they're kind of not the brightest tacks in the box. And I was being confronted with really getting annoyed. It's like, what is your problem? Think with your brain, you know? And I have to stop myself, because who the hell am I to judge them? And why do I think I'm so much smarter? I'm not. But I'm so used to that identity that I'm slowly chipping away at it, but it's not been all that easy, I gotta say. It is so deeply ingrained in how I behave and how I believe that this is something that's going to take a while.
That's why, like, every moment is a perfect moment to practice forgiveness, because there's always something that's going to bum us out, whether it's me hearing the plumbing and the dog and the people upstairs right now that could be distractive, or I'm at a light and somebody's asking me for money, or like whatever the situation is, all of it can be forgiven.
This is what happened to me today. I was in a parking garage in Santa Monica, and the way it works, I don't know if it works this way around the country or the world, but here you get a parking ticket. When you leave, you put your little ticket in the
credit card machine to
right,
pay,
and then
and
the
punch.
Arm will go up and you can leave. But you have to validate the ticket, which I did. So I followed process. I go to leave, put the ticket in, and it said bad ticket, and it wouldn't let me out. And I kept putting it in bad ticket. So I got really frustrated. So there's a button on this little thing.
Sure.
So there's no human.
Right.
So you press the button, and I start saying, hello, hello. Like, I think there's a human in this little box. And this woman came on, the speaker. And she's like, how can I help you? And I said, my ticket won't work. It won't let me go. And I've got to get out of here. And I was like totally going off on this woman. I was acting like I was insane.
Because you were for that moment.
I was totally insane for that moment. And I kept trying to put the ticket in. And I thought she was saying, we'll try the ticket again. What she was really saying is, don't try the ticket again. It's clearly not working. Hold on.
Let me push the button and open the
gate. But I was so crazed, because of all the things that happened in my day, that's the thing that set me off. That I couldn't get out of the... what, are they going to keep me there? I'm going to be imprisoned.
Or 5 minutes is going to pass.
Yeah, it took me 5 minutes. And you would have thought that I was in some gulag somewhere in Russia. Like, I just lost it. And I left. And I started laughing at myself. Like, really? This is what you did? Of all the things you could have gone off about today, it was that. Because it was safe.
Yeah, that's a good point. It was just you and the person in the box.
Yeah, this voice, you know, the Wizard of Oz coming through the box. You know? I feel sorry for her, actually, because I wasn't hearing it. I was just like, get me out of here. I don't understand.
It's wild how light as I feel and happy now compared to a couple years ago, I still feel jealousy, resentment, anger, frustration, envy, you know, comparing, like all that stuff is still there. It really is.
I used to be a very jealous person. It is really diminished tremendously. But I remember just being jealous of everything and everybody. And my sister, we were talking about this, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And it's just something that for whatever reason, we both carried with us. Even at work, sometimes I'll get jealous because somebody got a promotion. Why didn't I get a promotion? That kind of stuff.
Sure.
It's like I feel myself rising up with that kind of, you know, emotion. And it's like, what are you doing? I have to keep remembering none of this is real. It just isn't real.
Or just be like, thank you for rising up within me so I could feel it and release it.
That is a really good point. It's like, thank you for, again, bringing me back to where I needed to be.
And I think sometimes this stuff is really old from that ancient mind, that unconscious guilt, and it's coming to us because we keep forgiving and we're clearing stuff out. And so they're great gifts, actually, because the more we clear out, the sooner we get home.
Like I was saying earlier, that I felt like if I don't forgive my work situation now, it's just going to keep coming back in a more kind of intense way. It's like, thank you, universe, for providing me with many opportunities to let this one go. And then I don't do it, it'll keep happening.
Yeah, the writing's on the wall. Like, it's a gift.
Right.
It's so clear.
Right. Like you were saying,
this is just
crazy.
If it's
in your face, yeah, then you can forgive it.
Yeah.
You know.
And unfortunately, sometimes things have to get in our face for us to notice.
Yeah, that's totally how it is with me. It's
like being run by the meaning making machine.
Right. How many times is this going to show up before I'm going to actually do something about it? I can't live in misery forever. I suppose I could on some level, but we will eventually wake up.
Yeah.
But I don't need that anymore.
I think a lot of my fears that I used to have, mostly about, unfortunately, like getting raped and dragged off somewhere. I don't know where all that came from. Maybe it's another lifetime. Maybe it's just too much media as a kid. But all those fears are gone now.
Well, it's kind of like whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, that too.
We were talking earlier about the interview that Jimmy Carter had with Oprah Winfrey recently, last Sunday on her Super Soul Sunday series, and how great he was with just basically saying it is what it is. And he just seemed like such an advanced soul to me.
Mm-hmm.
He just came across so loving.
I was listening to those Gary CDs, Forgiveness. What was it called?
I don't remember.
Fearless Forgiveness or something. And he was talking about visiting the Mona Lisa painting in person.
Right.
How the eyes really came to him with her subtle smile of confidence. And he realized in that moment that Da Vinci had painted an enlightened person.
Yes.
Mona Lisa. Wow.
I really hope in my heart of hearts that Da Vinci was advanced enlightened soul.
Yes. I guess it's possible to be like aware somewhat, or I don't know if there, it goes to degrees, but I'm just wondering, like, could he be awake and aware, but not
well, it felt
all
to me
the
that,
way
that he was tapping into different lifetimes because his paintings were amazing and it was bringing in stuff that there's no way they had at that time.
Interesting.
Helicopters and spaceships and
wow.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Pretty amazing. And the Last Supper painting has been so iconic and been such a discussion point for religion and art historians and theologians and metaphysicians and all that kind of stuff.
And people who want to mock it and well, do other versions of it.
I kind of think that when you're around genius like that,
mm-hmm.
and I will preface that by saying that I believe everyone's a genius in their own way. I mean, everybody's a genius. It's just maybe they don't need to light that part up in them in whatever lifetime they're in. But we're all geniuses because we're all God.
Yeah, just like we're all mentally ill.
Well, I think Gary
had
said that's
the ego side, the false world.
That art and
we aren't really, but we are in this human world.
In the human world. That Artin in the Chicago Lifetime in 100 years from now, who is Cindy, didn't really come through with the music part of her.
Oh, okay.
In that lifetime because she, you know, she was a physician.
I don't remember. I think it was science based.
She was a physician and Persa was the professor.
Okay. Yeah. You're right.
And so, you know, just because she isn't all that musical in 100 years from now doesn't mean that, you know, it's just like she didn't need it for that last lifetime. It wasn't something that needed to be lit up in her.
Or expressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Personality trait or whatever.
Right.
But since it's all one, like, that's the thing I've also been trying on lately, is just imagining that it is all one, that I'm in that flow of oneness, that heaven and the light that's in the Forgotten Song, that ooey gooey yummy heavenly light is just, that veil is just right there. It's so close. It's so close. And if I just think of it kind of like bleeding through and me creeping into it and dipping my toe into it and trying to visualize it, intend it. I'm intentional. That's what I want.
Intentional life.
So that it can happen. Like building that bridge.
Last week, I forgot my iPhone at work. And so I came home and I went, oh no, I don't have my iPhone. What am I going to do? Because we were talking about being so connected to technology. So now I don't have my phone. And I thought, well, this is going to be interesting because it's been 20 years since I had a cell phone next to me. Mm-hmm. I usually have an iPad. iPad was at work.
Mm.
So basically, I was sans smaller technology. I have a laptop, but I didn't bother to go on that. So I thought, what am I going to do with myself?
Like, using my iPhone, I could turn on the BoobTube.
Was so important. Well, I'm sure I'd turn on the TV, but I thought, I'm so used to going on to Twitter and all that kind of stuff. You were saying that you always jump onto Facebook. So now I had to figure out, well, how do I replace that? So what I did is I took the hard copy of Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish, which is Mike Lemieux's awesome book, and he signed it when we saw him down in San Diego. So I thought, why not just read this? An actual book, you know, because usually I'm reading
that's
things
good for
electronically.
Me.
Yeah. So I was rereading kind of his story of how he wrote the book and how he came up with it. And I'd forgotten that he had said that when he checked to see if he could get permission to reprint some of the course material, it wasn't copyrighted.
It's in the public domain.
It's in public domain. The only things that are copyrighted were like Song of Prayer and the psychology, the psychic part of it.
The extras.
Yeah. But he didn't have to worry about the copyright. And it's like, that reminded me, oh, maybe we could just talk about the course, and we already read it on air anyway, but we probably could, you know, quote it or whatever.
Yeah. I'm just never worried about getting slapped with a lawsuit.
Yeah. I'm just really like, I'm a big believer in people who create things to retain their copyright and always get
artist rights.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not somebody who, you know, would like to lift anything, but it's just good to remind myself that it's okay, which sort of makes sense, I guess, in a way. It's Jesus's words. I really would have liked it if Helen and Bill and anyone else got some sort of compensation for it, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, the Foundation for Inner Peace gets the loot. And they'll manage it. That's what I'm guessing.
Well, they'll get the loot on purchasing books, but they don't have the copyright on the material. So anybody basically could use the material and,
sure,
and reprint it.
Like the Bible.
Yeah, like the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know who. Yeah, that's an interesting. Yeah, you're right. The Bible, I would think, has no copyright.
This is the real Bible.
This is totally the real Bible. For sure. It's like the current Bible, the New Testament, talks a lot about these are Jesus' words, which, you know, okay.
Yeah.
And they don't quite match up to what's being talked about in the Course. I never thought saying the Course would be such an important part of my life. I probably say those two words, the Course, hundreds of times a week.
And type ACIM.
Right. Constantly. So you're almost done with your first go-round with the workbook. I'm about 50 lessons behind you. Once you're done, so you should be done probably end of November, I don't know what your schedule is.
Yeah, maybe by Thanksgiving.
That would be interesting. You could give thanks to that. It'll be interesting to hear your take on completing it.
Yes, I think the next step is just going into the teacher's manual. I definitely feel like I have a power in this now, so I don't know when I would repeat the workbook. You know, I've heard Gary say he's done it a couple times. Even Mikey, I think, said he did it a couple times, but I don't know. We'll just go with the flow. I mean, I got the text I want to keep reading. I mean, I've heard it a gazillion times.
Right. I find that when I keep listening to it over and over again, I lose it. Like, it just becomes background noise to me, like white noise.
It does sometimes. It depends. I'm usually pretty intentional. I'm like, okay. And then I stop and think about it and then process it and then push, you know, play again. Well, I was
rereading DU last week, pieces of it. When I'm at work and I'm going through a moment, I like to just pull it up and just get back into that space. And I'm always amazed by stuff I forgot was in the book or it never reached me when I first read it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sometimes it rewrites itself for me. Mm. It just creates new chapters. I don't know.
It is kind of fun to see something new.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, he talked about this.
Or to get it on a different understanding.
Yeah. That's why I think it's important to revisit these things. Yeah. A lot of times when people read a book, they read it and then it goes on a shelf and they don't read it again.
Right.
I just can't imagine not reading these books again.
Yeah, there's too much information in there. Like, I like these little chapters that they started doing in the 300s. You know, what is the ego? What is the Holy Spirit? I'm on what is a miracle? And it says it's a correction. It does not create nor really change. It merely looks on devastation and reminds the mind that what it sees is false. It undoes error.
Error.
Yeah, like E-R-R-O-R, like error. Errors. Okay. So, and then it goes into a miracle contains the gift of grace, for it is given and received as one. So I was thinking that... in that moment of connecting and giving everything over and being with God, that's where grace happens. That's a gift that's happening. And it's going both ways. It's coming and going because it's just all one. So that's kind of neat. And it does talk about a miracle inverts perception, which was upside down before, and thus it ends the strange distortions. So I really get that this is a psychoplanet. And that it is a tiny mad idea. And it all came from the separation. Thanks to Alex's last book, it really hit the nail on. It's really from the guilt and then the fear that the ego put in us. So if we can just kind of go like, I'm not going to buy that one anymore. And I'm just going to keep turning all these little ego illusions over. Then I'm just going to melt this away.
Yeah, one by one.
By that little sliver of the veil that's right there. I mean, the whole thing could just be over in a second.
That's the thing. It's like we are it is so over in close a second. To the promised land. We are so close every moment.
Yes.
It's just we, for whatever reason, our egos choose to not see that.
It says that miracles fall like drops of healing rain from heaven on a dry and dusty world where starved and thirsty creatures come to die. Now they have water. Now the world is green, and everywhere the signs of life spring up to show that what is born can never die, for what has life has immortality. I love how there's a lot of nature references, since I'm into gardening, and it talks a lot about nature themes.
Mm-hmm.
That resonates with me. How near we are to one another as we go to God, how near he is to us, how close the ending of the dream of sin and the redemption of the Son of God. That's how that ends. Oh, that's the end of 344. It's the section 2. Again, it's so close. It's near. It's right there. All we have to do is like say, yay, come get me.
Which is exactly what we did with this podcast. Mm-hmm. We said, here, come get me. And we grabbed it.
Yeah, I like that.
So, as always, you brought it home for us. Thank you, listeners. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening.
For this year, I mean, we have been so grateful for the feedback we've gotten and the people who have reached out to us and emailed us and kind of
sharing
kept us
stories.
Going. It gave us kind of like, what do I want to say?
It's like witnesses or some kind of support that not only are we being gotten, but it's all cycling. It's recycling.
It's like the encouragement of
giving
just
and receiving.
Going. You're doing okay. And even if we didn't have anybody listening, we'd still be doing this.
Yeah.
Because I think this is a it's
therapeutic.
Huge, right. It's, you know, I suppose on some level it's not as altruistic as one might think, but it's okay. There may be somebody out there listening, but we are. We're listening to ourselves. and we are vastly amusing to ourselves. So that worked out well then. All right, listeners, thank you so much for hanging in there for the past year. We hope that you will hang with us in the future. It's been a pleasure for episode 36. We will be back with you, and Stephanie will tell us how she's doing almost to the conclusion of her first pass with the workbook in the next episode. You won't be done in the next one, but you will tell us how you're doing.
Sure.
And the progression of the end of it.
As will you.
Indeed. Thank you. Once I get to the 300s, I'll be like, yay, look at me. All right, listeners, thanks again. We will talk to you next time.